What an awesome season of the Lord.
Yes.
Thank God you're all here this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Glory to God. We have a guest minister with us this morning. We announced it the other night, and glad to have him with us. His name, Dean Clark. Hails from California. A man of God. He's been around a little bit. I know he looks like a young man, and I'm glad that he looks like a young man. He's not as young as he looks, but I'm not going to tell all the secrets. Anyway, this his biography reads like this. He's a revivalist. He's a gospel singer. He's a crusade evangelist. It says the ministry brings the spirit of revival, deliverance, healings, an accurate prophetic word with cutting-edge teaching. And I know that to be true. This is not just hype here. This is the spirit of the living God really uses this man as he travels around the world. He's done crusades all over the world. Here's some of the countries: India, Nigeria, Kenya, Papua New Guinea, Australia, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, Mexico, Norway, Russia, Ukraine, and Philippines. And when he's all finished, he plants churches in those areas as well. His credentials are big. Here's a name. Some of you may have heard of Randy and Paula White. Well, he was on their staff, and on and on. It's a long list. I don't want to take a lot of time, but what I want you to do is receive him however that God would have you to receive him. In other words, some people call him a prophet, and some call him an evangelist, and some call him names. No. but we want to open our hearts so that God can use them exactly as he will when he comes. Please open your hearts, open your arms, put your hands together, and welcome him to our pulpit this morning.
Bless you, sir. Hallelujah. Is this thing on?
It's on.
Praise the Lord. Okay, great. It's so good to see everybody this morning. Hallelujah. And wow, I've been really looking forward to being here. I knew all week that God was going to do something extraordinary. And I'm just believing God. This is such an awesome ministry, awesome presence of God here. And more than anything today, I just pray that you would take your destinies and take your ministries, amen. Take your life, amen, and impact people. Get some people into this church. You're anointed to bring people here. Amen. Prophetic gifts and anointings aren't just for a pulpit preacher. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. But it's for every one of you. And some of you are wondering, why am I dry inside? Why don't I feel the unction of God? Why don't I feel the favor of God? Amen. Because I would say 90% of people in churches neglect the part of their worship in God. And this is just coming out of my psyche here, out of my spirit. They neglect the part of worship of God that reaches out and glorifies God through their ministry. It's a form of worship to reach out and to believe God is good enough to touch people and to speak God's word into people. And I find the dilemma in America that we've got such great ministries and great churches, but much of the body of Christ is we're number one, we're looking at the preacher to fulfill everything and for us just to be fed by his words. But amen, you'll never be completely fed by the loaves and fishes. You'll be fed when you go out and do what God's called you to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm praying more than anything, more than just a word, God will set you on fire, amen, to fulfill your destiny and your ministry. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here with Pastor Glenn. I've heard so much about him over the years. A phenomenal man of God. I know my good friend, Pastor Kevin, in the same city, he would not have sent me to somebody unless they were just had a heart for God and heart for a move of God. And his boss, Pastor Joni, is here today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's doing, building this place and growing this ministry. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me as we're coming down that there was going to be an outstanding outpouring and a mega growth that was going to hit the youth of this church. Glory to God. Glory to God. That God was going to allow the youth to bring a breakthrough, glory to God, that was going to bring a multiplicity of people into this church. That's a prophetic word from the Lord. I'm talking to some young evangelist right now. I'm talking to some young lady that's a prophet of God. Hallelujah. That God's going to set you on fire today. Let me tell you something. I was in the world. Some of you seen my poster. And let me just say this before I start preaching. Amen. That, you know, I was bound to drugs. I was in sin in the world. I toured with, played with famous rock bands. Amen. Now, I don't know where I come from. People know this name of this band, but you probably don't. There's a guy named Sly and the Family Stone. Who ever heard of him? You know that guy? Okay. Well, his record producer, when I was 19, offered me a record contract. I've been offered major record contracts during my life. I played with famous rock bands. And when I was about 23 years old, getting ready to tour with a major band, I had a visitation from the Holy Spirit, not when I was in church, but when I was high, when I was messed up. And someone said, well, that wasn't a visitation, you were just high. Well, if I was just high, I wouldn't have flushed the drugs and 25 years later be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with the anointing of the Holy Ghost on my life. Glory to God. But I had a visitation from the Holy Spirit, and God miraculously cleansed me and changed me. Glory to God. And I want everybody to bow your head for just a minute here tonight. I'm going to do something a little unorthodox. But I want to ask you here today, if you're here in this place and you know in your heart you need the Lord. You know you need a recommitment to God maybe. And, you know, I've known people, the Bible says you got to be born again. I've probably been born again 10 times maybe. I don't know. So don't feel bad if you need to do this again. But, you know, Jesus loves you. God loves you. Some of you got a burden in your heart and you're worn down. You want to accept the Lord. And I know some of you are faced in your mind, God, I can't change. I don't know how to change. Amen. But there's a surrender that says, Lord, even though I don't know how I can change, how I can get delivered, but Lord, I do want to love you and I do trust you and I need a Savior. If you're here today, I want you to search your heart, and I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Amen. Sometimes I do this different ways. I ask people, sometimes at youth crusades, I usually say I want everybody looking around, every eye open, because I want them to make a bold declaration. But I feel like if you're here today, you say, I need a new start with Jesus. I need God to forgive me. I need salvation. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And that's you. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hands. I'm just going to pray for you right where you're seated, so that you could enjoy this word rather than saying, I wish I could be part of this. You could be part, hallelujah, of the most wonderful thing that's ever been. Eternal life, going to heaven, serving God, getting people into eternal life. It's a phenomenal thing. Hallelujah. Amen. One, I want you to get your hand ready in this place. Two, you're saying, when I count to three, I want you to lift your hand. I just want you to look at me, lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Three, get your hand up if you're here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, there's a number of hands raised. Amen. I want you to pray. I want everybody to pray with me. Glory to God. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I can't save myself. I can't change myself. I need you. Forgive me of everything I've done. But more than anything, Lord, forgive me for not loving you. Forgive me for not worshiping you. I turn my back on the world and the devil. And I decree today that I belong to God, the eternal Almighty God. And I turn my face and heart toward Him. And today I believe, because of God's promise, that I have eternal life, that I am saved in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a hand of praise. Okay. So now when I preach the word today, it won't get on your nerves. You'll be able to say, hallelujah, that's for me. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Make sure you tell somebody today that you accepted the Lord. Well, I have got something in my spirit that I felt that God wanted me to bring to you today. And I want you to turn to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 7. And I'm really glad that the young people are here today. The children and the youth, amen. Young people like myself, like that guy right there. Great. The music was phenomenal. I asked Pastor Glenn, I go, is that a CD? I didn't know. I thought, they can't be that good. Amen. You're in a blessed house, amen. You're in a blessed church. All right, Mark chapter 7. And I want to go to verse 24. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Glory to God. I'm from Australia, by the way. So I don't know what color I am, black, white, Native American. I don't know what I am. I told my pastor's name is T.D. Jakes. I tell my friends, I don't know what I am, but I don't think I'm white. Amen. Okay. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus answered her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto the Lord, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She was saying, God, give me a blessing under the table. You don't need to report this to the saints. You don't need to let anybody know about this. That'll disqualify me. Amen. Give me permission to get this without church's permission. Amen. And he said, for this saying, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter and laid upon the bed. Notice he says, for this saying, go thy way. Not just because of the presence and the will of God, but because of this saying. Today, I want to preach for just a few moments on the mystery of the seed, or I smell the bread. I want to give it two titles. The mystery of the seed, or I smell the bread. Because Jesus said, because of this saying, because of what she said at this specific time, there's a scenario that leads up to the victory and her breakthrough. Amen. Amen. Let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, every single person in this here has a need, needs a breakthrough, needs a miracle. Amen. Somebody just needs to go to a higher level. Somebody just needs their presence to give them favor to accomplish their destiny and their will. I thank you, Lord, that we are never victims, that we are always more than conquerors, and that you've released the ability to bring the presence, the victory of God, and changes in our life. Hallelujah. Not just victory over the devil, but victory into the place of breakthrough that you want to bring us. And Lord, I thank you. Release your anointing. Release your faith. Release the supernatural presence of Almighty God in this place. Release a prophetic gift. Hallelujah. In my spirit. Release a prophetic gift in the spirit of your people that they will know something secret about their destiny and about what you're going to do. And all God's children clapped their hands and said, hallelujah. Amen. One thing about this woman is she wouldn't shut up. She kept on talking to Jesus. And amen. There's no woman in the Bible that did not get their prayer answered. David didn't get his son raised from the dead. Moses didn't go into his promised land. But no woman in the Bible ever got their prayer answered. Amen. When women are driving, they get a car problem. My sister gets a problem with their car. She just turns up the radio louder and just keeps on driving. Say, I'll call somebody when I get home. Amen. There's so many differences between men and women, but the biggest difference, and I don't know the specific detail of this, But I heard it said that men speak like 10,000 words and women speak like 250,000 words a day. Can I get a witness, man? Amen. I say to my brother, listen, I gotta go. He'll go, see you later, click. I say to my sister, hey, I gotta go. Well, that's fine. Here's what happened today. But anyway, blah, 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 blah. And I gotta go means keep on talking for 10 minutes later. Amen. But this woman, amen, got her victory because she wouldn't shut up. Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, what's it gonna take for you to shut up? Say, when I get everything that God has for me, then I'm going to shut up. But until then, I'm going to keep on praising over my enemies, over my issues. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We are born, the Bible says, by the seed of the Word of God. I'm going to talk to you about some seeds today that's going to help your life. We are born by the Bible says, by the Word of God. It literally means the same word as the seed of a man. Born by the seed of God. That God has actually put a seed in us. Amen. Glory to God. How do I know that God's born and put a seed in you? It's because despite you've been waiting for a breakthrough, despite your dilemmas, despite your setbacks, despite your past, despite the hatred that's come against you, despite not seeing results, despite you've been waiting all this time, waiting for your breakthrough, things said give up on your prayer, give up on your destiny, your family looks too bad, you come, amen, you're not seeing things the way you want, yet something in your spirit is still reaching for a breakthrough. Something still believes that God is there. That is proof. You wouldn't still be here with faith and believing God. Hallelujah. With all you've been through, unless there was a word born from God in your spirit that can't give up. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, I've been born by the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can never judge anybody's level or where they're going or limit somebody to the level or what they've come out of to decree where they're going. The Bible says, interesting, the word for praise is the word Judah. Amen. It's connected to the word Yadalet. Amen. Which Abraham knew Sarah is the word Yadalet. Adam knew Eve is the word Yadalet. It's connected to praise. In other words, as soon as you worship and praise God, God is able to birth something that's never been in your life before. If you ever realize and believe you were born to praise and worship God, God could birth a new anointing and a new outlook and something new in your spirit. I was a drug crack addict on alcohol, but when I realized I was born to praise God, something was birthed in my spirit that had never been there before. Can you say amen? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may think I'm going to stay here, but I just might mess up your theology today and start praising God and go higher than what you ever thought I would do. Can you say amen? The man of Gadara was bound to 1,000 devils, but he fell down and worshiped God. And God put the seed, hallelujah, of an evangelist in his life that he never had before. Oh, I wish I could get a witness in here. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, you don't have to go there, but I want you to, in your study time, because I don't want to keep you all day. It's interesting. He talks, this is really the complete chapter about how the whole kingdom of God operates. In Mark chapter 4, he talks about seed sown on the stony ground. You want to turn there? It's only a couple pages back. You can turn there. Amen. Amen. You got to watch out what preachers say. I work with a lot of Hispanic Mexican guys in California, and I tell them that in Ezekiel, I'm from Australia, the island of the South, so I mess around with them. I say, Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 4:12 that the man from the South Island shall rule over the brown people, and they don't know it's not in the Bible. So you got that's what I want to do when I want to get into work. It's not in there. Okay, Mark chapter 4, it talks about... it talks about the seed on the stony ground. From verse 3, it talks about seed on the stony ground, seed on the wayside, seed on the thorny ground, and then a seed on the good ground. And in verse 11, it says, unto you it is given to know the mystery. Someone say, the mystery of the kingdom of God. there is one mystery of how the entire of kingdom of God operates. Now watch, and then verse 13, he says, know ye not this parable? Then how will you not know all parables? The sower soweth the word. He says, upon this principle or parable, every different thing that God wants to show you about a parable is based on this system. Now watch. Verse 26, he says, so is the kingdom of God as a man should cast seed unto the ground. Verse 30, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or where comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. When it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it becomes greater, etc., other than bigger than all the other trees, basically is what he's saying. Amen. Someone say an oak tree is just a nut that did not give up. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. He says everything about the kingdom of God has to do with a seed. I'm going to talk to you about five seeds today. Amen. He does this sermon. He goes into a storm. There's a storm arises in the ship, and Jesus looks at the storm and calls it peace. He does not call it what it was. He calls it the things that it's not, because he calls those things as not as though they were. And he immediately plants a seed and gets a harvest of the calm. Amen. And then he says to his disciples, how are you so fearful? Amen. And what was he saying? He's saying you could have used the same system as that I use. He said, why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? He rebuked them for not having the faith. Because if Jesus' presence is in the boat, that releases you to be able to speak a prophetic word. Don't you dare feel the presence and the anointing of God and talk about how your ex and the depression you've gone through and how devils are bigger than your future and talk about how you can't get victory over your past. He rebuked them because if I'm in the boat, you can say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea. The presence of God alone will not deliver you. The presence of God in your life, hallelujah, is in your spirit. So you can speak to futures and speak to breakthroughs and speak over your past. Don't you dare talk about devils when the presence of God is there to bring you a breakthrough. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he goes into Gadara. The man of Gadara sows the seed of saying, are you come to torment us? Jesus, he talks about him being the Son of God. He plants a seed of faith that he's the Son of God. And the result is he gets a harvest of his deliverance. There were many people that touched Jesus. The Bible said a crowd touched him, were pressing against the presence of the Lord, but only one lady got her deliverance. The one that says, if I can touch his presence, glory to God, I shall be made whole. The only person that got their deliverance was said, if his presence touches me, I am not going out here the same. Glory to God. And let me tell you, why am I so excited? Why did God bless me and allow me to go to ministry? I said, if his presence touches me, I refuse to be a statistic. If his presence touches me, I don't have to live with my past. If his presence touches me, hallelujah, that's enough for me to know that God's getting ready to bring something supernatural into my life. Yes. Good God Almighty, are you here? She said within herself, yes. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. And she planted a seed. I'm not supposed to get that excited in here. It's Canada. Okay. Did you get that? Everything is a result of the seed. Now watch this. Amen. I feel something pulling in my spirit on your life. Something's getting ready to change in this house. Something's getting ready to break in this house. God brought me at this specific time. I knew it, that there was going to be a multiplication of favor, a multiplication of breakthroughs. You can't be normal any longer. You can't stay there waiting for a prophecy about your ministry any longer. You can't let the devil take your family in. There's a change in the spirit that what you've been waiting for is getting ready to be released. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel a prophetic anointing in this place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Something just broke off your life. Hallelujah. An old chapter just closed in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Genesis, and I'm going to do some things that you could just study in your own time. In Genesis, someone say the whole kingdom of God, operates by seed. I'm an evangelist, but I'm not talking about offering right now. Amen. Okay. In Genesis, the Bible says during all of creation, he calls himself Elohim. Elohim is from two words. El means mighty one. And Ohim in the original meant multiplicity of gods or a type of gods. But it actually means a multiplicity of God, that you can't put God in a box. You can't figure out who he is. Amen. If you try to figure out God, the very first thing he says is, in the beginning, God. If you don't accept that, close the book and get rid of it, because you can never figure out God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's amazing how an idiot thinks they're smarter than God. Come on. I like that. I like that thing about that scientist. I get away with a lot of stuff as an evangelist. You laugh and I leave. Amen. Pastor says it, I'm out of here. I can't believe he said that to me. This one scientist said to God, he goes, hey, we can make a man just like you can. He goes, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, watch, we can take this dirt and we can fill it with this and that chromosome and this and that. We can make a man. And so God says, okay, I'll go first. God takes dirt, breathes dirt, and makes a man. And God says, okay, it's your turn. He takes dirt and God says, wait a minute, you got to make your own dirt. Multiplicity of God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. That he's the first, but he's the last. He's wind, but he's water. He's water, but he's fire. He is the high priest. He is the lamb. He is the temple. He is off taking the offering into himself, for himself, by himself, through himself. He's a lamb. He's wonderful. He's forgiving. He's gentle. But don't fool yourself and think you can jack with God's people, because he knows how to be a lion and slap you back with a dilemma that you wish you never messed around with God's people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. A multiplicity of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because God can't be boxed in. But then after creation, I believe it's Genesis 2 and 6, he stops calling himself Elohim. Elohim is his name that he's called in his act of creating the world, the universe, the stars, etc. He stops calling himself Elohim and he changes his name to Lord. Lord in the Old Testament culture, it would be a lord means somebody that rules over a land or someone that rules over a farm. Lord literally means, if you look at Jehovah, it literally means that God is vehemently connected to his system in the earth. That he's no longer creating new worlds, but he is he changes his power and his ability and puts it into the system, and he's vehemently connected and dedicated to the system of sowing and reaping in the world. Did you get that? When you hear the word Lord, it means the system. According to Mark chapter 4, the whole system of everything operates is by a system of sowing and reaping in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear or the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When Job came to God, he did not go to heaven in the Holy of Holies. The Bible said he came and presented himself to the Lord. Amen. The very first thing that Satan did is he killed Joseph's sacrifice. He killed his oxen. After he killed his oxen, he went and took his children. In our way, we would put it, that when you that have been tithers, amen, the Bible said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And when they took away the sacrifice, they didn't stop the devourer. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? That there is a supernatural protection over your family. When you say, God, I'm giving into your heart, into your ministry. There is a supernatural hedge around your family. My little sister, Pastor Glenn, was dead for over 15 minutes, drowned, turned a different color, dead. They tried CPR. They tried breathing in her lungs, pumping on her chest. She lay there lifeless. But my dad gave over 90% of his income to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my uncle started to say to God, God, he gave to your work. He's a tither. He supported your work and he supported your children getting help. And now his child needs help. And he said, Satan, I rebuke you. I rebuke death. And in the name of Jesus, when he spoke Jesus, my little sister spat up water and she's still alive and came back from the dead because, hallelujah, there is a supernatural protection around people that love God enough to support his work. Amen. Amen. And the thing that turned Job's captivity around was his friend's sacrifice for him. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, the Bible says. Yeah. Amen. The Bible said that the angels of God came to the Lord with Satan. Satan also uses the system of sowing and reaping in your life. That's why grumpy, murmuring, complaining people never get a change or never get victory over their life. Amen. The devil is like a Kevorkian. He can't kill you, but he knows how to assist you in your own suicide. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is an interesting thing to note, that Katrina, amen, if you look at New Orleans, the storms followed where voodoo came from, the South Islands where voodoo was from. Amen. It followed the same trails as voodoo came to New Orleans. Glory to God. The big tsunami in Indonesia was pinpointed at the child sex slave capital of the world. The biggest earthquake in Southern California was pinpointed on the pornography capital of the world. The biggest storms we've had on the eastern seacoast, they followed the trails. It was where slaves, millions of slaves from Africa were brutally murdered coming across that sea. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying here today? But thank God, the angels of God, according to Psalms 103, hallelujah, also hear the word of God in the saints of God's mouth. Oh, are you here today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but there were some car wrecks that would have killed me, but grandma sent an angel that protected me when I was blacked out and I got home not even knowing how, amen, when drugs came and would have taken me. There was a supernatural presence around some stuff that would have killed me. When you didn't even have hope in your spirit, there was something supernatural that said you're still gonna make it because somebody spoke the word of God over your life. It might have been your grandma, your daddy, your pastor, or a supernatural anointing that spoke, but you're here because supernatural was spoken into your spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Am I all right? Okay. Hallelujah. There was my friend, my spiritual father, Pastor Doyle. He's 90 years old, still preaching. Amen. I'm preaching for him next week. Glory to God. He was preaching down south a message, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I shall not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And he told me there was this little old lady, this little old black lady that walked with a cane. And she said, Pastor, thank you so much. That was a great message. I loved it. And she was a widow. And she had a two-story house. And that lady came back and testified this a couple nights later. She was home, and in the middle of the night, she heard, she had a china cabinet. She heard all this noise, brother, all this stuff going on. She comes downstairs walking with her little cane, and there's a man putting all her stuff. Her husband was passed away in the military, and she was putting all this stuff in a pillowcase, all her expensive china and her silverware, etc. And he looked out up at her and came at her with a knife and said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm going to have to kill you. You've seen who I am. The little old lady pointed down on the stairs with her cane and said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That little old lady said, that man went, ah, and turned around, dropped the bag, and went running down the street with his knife in his hand.
Amen.
The police found him almost a mile down the street, running down the street with a knife in his hand. He said, don't shoot, don't shoot. I can't let down my hand. I can't let down my hand. They wrestled him to the ground. The little old lady identified him, and they said, why couldn't you put down your hand? She said, when that little old lady, she said some Bible verse or something, a man about 9 feet tall, dressed in a white robe, went around that staircase, touched and paralyzed my arm. Oh, thank God. Let me tell you something. God has not changed. There is still angels. There is still a Holy Ghost that can set the captive free. It's time we get God back in the church. Can you say amen, somebody? Oh my God, some devil is going to come out of your family today. Some breakthrough of a supernatural presence of God is going to touch your life today. Can you shout yes? Go give the Lord a hand of praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to book of Mark, the book of Mark. Go to book of Mark. Y'all got to forgive me. I partied a lot in the 80s. What I learned to do, before someone makes fun of you, just make fun of yourself. My dad used to always make fun of me about stuff, and I'd say, what an idiot I am before he even got a chance. Go to Mark chapter 11, and now I'm going to get into these seeds. This is pretty good preaching today. Amen. 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 I like your guitar playing, man. Really awesome. I was like, is that really him playing? I'm not kidding you.
He's a blessing.
He is. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11. And I want you to go to verse, it's a standard faith message. We know Jesus curses the fig tree. Nothing looks like it's happening, okay? But they come back the next day, the fig tree's withered because Jesus didn't curse it at the leaves. He cursed it at the root. Yes. Amen. You that are in rebellion, children in rebellion to God, you ain't got no chance. Amen. Your grandma cursed it at the root. You're going to get up jacked up until you get saved. Amen. God's going to work on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Peter wants to know how that happened. He said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. Therefore I say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Okay, this gave me a problem in my thinking, because I'm saying, Lord, how do I believe? Like, you want me to believe a mountain's gonna move? I have an element of doubt in my psyche. That sounds like a nice way of putting it. In other words, amen. But I found out something. Here's what helped me. You know, you know how you have. For instance, you got a drug addict child, let's say, maybe nobody has that here, but let's say you got a drug addict son, and you're like, wow, this kid is bad. He's a mess. I don't know how he can get helped. And your heart doubts because, or your mind doubts, or whatever you want to say, because you see the reality of that thing. Some of us, my God, you promised a financial breakthrough, but I'm going through all this bill after bill after bill. You've had a foreclosure. Amen. I don't want to say I had a foreclosure because I won't claim nothing. Can you say amen? My word's going to the spirit realm. Amen. But, you know, there's a reality of the real things we face, a sickness maybe. And it's not, here's what God showed me. It's not that you don't face the reality of what's really going on in your life. It's there. But your heart is more connected to one day your son is going to get a breakthrough. I don't deny that my mind questions it, but my heart is more connected that though you've had a foreclosure and going through financial difficulty, yes, I believe it's there now, but my heart is more connected to my time of breakthrough. Are you following what I'm saying here? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I don't believe what I'm in right now. What I'm in right now is temporal, but what my heart is connected to is a future. Yes. Hallelujah, that one of these days, something is going to change in my life. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Someone say, I got a problem. Amen. Don't look at the person next to you. But I'm believing in my heart. I believe more in my deliverance than what I'm going through. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now watch this. He says, have faith in God. I want to talk to you about these seeds today. Amen. When he says faith, have in God, and you know this, a lot of word of faith teachers, and it's accurate. It means have faith like God. That's why he doesn't say, pray that God will do it for you. Prayer is not just asking God. Prayer is simply reliance on God. When he talks about have faith in God, then he says, say unto the mountain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he's saying, have faith that when you speak to it, that the energy of God, if you will, that's how, that doesn't sound new. I'm not trying to be new age. I don't know how to put it. God's ability, God's strength. He says, say unto the mountain, have faith that when you speak, that God himself will be in your words. I've seen an old lady stop a tornado in front of her house because God came into her words. My little sister was raised up from the dead because God was in my uncle's words. You have to have the audacity to believe that God's ability is in your words. Well, people think I'm crazy, think I'm arrogant. If you care what people think, I ain't talking to you. Because if you're going to get your breakthrough, hallelujah, you're going to have to speak to mountains. You're going to have to speak to bank accounts. You're going to have to speak favor over your life.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Yes. He says, have faith in God. It literally means have faith like God or of God. It means both of those things. Amen. How did God have faith? The Bible said the very first thing he did is he said, let there be light. First, I want to talk to you about the seed of vision. Someone say the seed of vision. You've got to see it in your spirit. You've got to see it in your spirit. If you're going to be healed, you got to see yourself healed. If you're going to see an open door, you got to see yourself going through an open door. If you're going to see your children saved, you got to see them saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Amen. They say that 80% of your goals are more likely to take place if you write them down where you can see them. That's just a practical application of vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is seeing what is not seen. Are you hearing me today? Someone say, I see the invisible. Amen. Visible bills, visible setbacks you've had, visible enemies, visible addictions, visible letdowns, visible heartaches, visible setbacks, visible not seeing everything you want, visible being knocked down, visible pains in your heart, visible people that left you, visible mistrusts, but you're still hoping for God. You're still believing God. Why? Because there was somebody invisible, greater than what you saw, that was visible, that kept on holding you together when you should have given up on that vision, Pastor Glenn, and visibly you should have given up. There was an invisible God greater than your visible enemies. Everything that God has put you through or the enemy has done in your life was to train you that there is an invisible God greater than what you see. Because hallelujah, you're going to have to believe in that visible thing greater than what you see.
Yes.
Amen. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, I know somebody invisible was holding me together.
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He told Abraham, look to the north, south, east, and west. All the land you see, I will give it to you. Said the same thing to the children of Israel. Look to the land that I will give you. He could only look, could get from God what he saw. It's called revelation. God spoke light before there was a sun, before there was a moon, before there were stars. God put the evidence of it before they ever saw it. Oh, hallelujah. God will always put something in your spirit that has not taken place in the natural. Ain't got money, but I got money in my spirit. Crying tears, but I got a breakthrough in my spirit. Preacher, why are you so excited? You ain't got all that much, because I got something of a revelation in my spirit. God will always show you something before it comes to pass.
Amen.
Can you shout amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when I was unsaved, Pastor Glenn, and I was on crack and rock and roll, and I was partying after rock concerts. I'd come up, and I remember my grandmother was using my second story room, and there was a window, and I'd come up my driveway, and every night I'd see her standing on the chair. I see her little white hair, kind of looked purple for some reason. Huh? No, it was purple all the time. So you got a light shining up purple. And she'd be talking to somebody every night. I'd see her head moving around. I come home the next night, 3 o'clock in the morning, see my grandma talking to somebody. Kind of was weird. I was like, what you doing? It happened 3 nights in a row. And the next day I got up, I said, Grandma, who are you talking to every day when I'm coming home at night? She said, I was talking to the devil. I said, talking to the devil? She said, yes. She said, I was telling the devil, I see that my grandson is going to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You better learn how to tell the devil what you see. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She saw what I was going to be before I ever was it. You're only going to get what you see in your spirit. Someone say the seed of vision. Oh, hallelujah. That's what Arnold Schwarzenegger did, a secular guy. He said, I got a picture of what I wanted to be, and I lived like that picture had already taken place. Amen. Someone say the seed of vision. Amen. Number two, the seed of trust. Faith, this is all about faith. Everything we do is faith. The seed of trust is different. Faith sees exact results. Faith knows a certain way that God's going to do it. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith sees those things that are not yet. Faith saw me preaching. Amen. Trust is different because faith is, I know exactly that you're doing it, Lord. Faith is, Jesus, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what in the world is going on. Trust is different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith pleases God. The Bible says in Hebrews, but trust is different and it's a higher realm because trust worships God. Because faith believes he'll do it. Trust says, I don't understand, but I still worship your character because you have the ability to do it even when I don't understand it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of your faith is being messed around with by circumstance and by the enemy. But the devil don't know that he's getting ready to put you into trust. Faith kept one Moses alive. Trust put him into the waters. Amen. Faith was one Moses. Trust became 3 million Israelites delivered. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Faith followed Jesus with the loaves and fishes. Trust put the loaves and fishes into their hands. Amen. And putting it into his hands, that trust multiplied the loaves and fishes. Anytime you trust God, it multiplies. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying here? Hallelujah. That's why when Abraham, see, faith, trust denotes an amount of pain and sacrifice. Sometimes it's hard to worship God when you're hurting. Sometimes it's hard to understand God when you've got a dilemma. Sometimes it's hard to plant seed when you've just gone through a financial crisis and it's your last $100. Job said, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Hallelujah. Abraham was going up onto the mountain with an act of worship and put Isaac into God's hands. When he was willing to sacrifice, that's when God said, now I know that you fear me. Now I know that you trust me. Now I know you don't trust circumstance and you love my character and you love my nature, even though you don't see it the way you want. Hallelujah. You're trusting God. It didn't work out the way you want, but the highest element of you giving God God the glory. It's not faith, really. Amen. That's a different level. But trust is saying, I don't understand it, but I love you. When Job did that, he got double for his trouble. When Abraham sacrificed and said, I don't understand it, it hurts, but I worship you with my sacrifice, God said, now I'm going to multiply you, because trust will multiply you into something you ain't never had before. Glory to God. Someone say, Lord, I trust you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Faith is you holding on to God, but trust is God holding on to you. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Someone say, devil, you messed around and messed up this time because you pushed me into trust. Oh, glory to God. The next seed I want to talk about is attitude. The seed of attitude. Your attitude's a seed. Ask Joseph. Joseph, when he was a boy, wore a coat of many colors. That coat, you know, Pastor, was designated for princes. In the Middle Eastern, that culture, only a prince would wear a multicolored coat. He was a little 8-year-old boy wearing a little prince robe. Came to his brothers. What you guys up to? Dad, why don't we check on you? Like he was the boss. The Bible said when he got into Potiphar's house, the Bible said he was the leader and he acted and conducted himself like a leader in Potiphar's house. Then the Bible said when he was in jail, he acted like a leader even when he was in jail. He did not become great Joseph when he got under Pharaoh. He had an attitude that he was great even as a little boy. Amen. Your attitude is the prophecy that goes into your future. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why he told Jacob, Jacob, if you want my favor, he said the instruction is, as a prince, you will have power with God and with man and have prevailed. What does that mean? You got to start acting and talking like you're a prince. He said, call yourself Israel. That means a prince with power with God and with man. He said, call life that you're a prince. Yeah. Call life that you're a princess. Yeah. Start acting like something's going to happen that you're getting. Start praising like God's already going to bring you the breakthrough. Start calling yourself favored and just acting like I feel an invisible presence around my life. Amen. Your attitude is a seed. The attitude of his seed. Eventually, he became what he already was in his spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Glory to God. Someone say the seed. Of attitude. That's why I noticed with my grandmothers from the old school. Pastor, you know this. Amen. That our mothers and grandmothers, they had a different anointing about them. Because they'd go, oh my God, we got 8 children and I ain't got no way to pay my bills and everything. They didn't cry and lose their mind. They say, devil, I'm going to keep on trusting God. God's going to supply my need. My grandmother used to walk with a different step. They didn't lose their mind because of a battle. They had an attitude that God was going to supply their needs. I remember I heard the story, Pastor Glenn, about my grandmother had 8 children. No way to pay her bills. She told my daddy, instead of going, oh my Jesus, what's going on? She went to my dad and said, God's going to meet our need. She said to my dad, Pastor Glenn, said, keep your eyes open. God's going to give us money today. Yeah. My dad kind of thought she was crazy. He said, well, it's mom. I got to do what she said or she's going to whip me. So he said, amen. Amen. We didn't have no 911 then. Amen. When I first went to a Holy Ghost, my daddy used to whip me different. he didn't just whip me a couple times. He whipped me on every syllable. I told you never to do that. That's where I learned to do Holy Ghost dance. No, daddy. Ow. Praise God. It didn't come naturally. My daddy said he's walking to school and he looks and it's a rainy day. This is the same day. He looks, there's a bag floating, a paper bag. Something said, go look in that bag. He goes and looks in that bag. It's full of rolls of cash. Because hallelujah, as soon as my grandmother had the attitude, she caused some heathen to drop that cash, glory to God, into that gutter. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Someone say, my attitude is going into my future. Your attitude is the prophecy of what you will be disqualified from and what will be brought into your life. Your attitude is a magnet, hallelujah. My friend Jeff Hendholt, he's a famous gospel singer. He prayed and he said, we went on the fishing trip. He prayed, he said, I want to catch a world record. He got with his staff and had the audacity that God was going to give him a world record fish. And I said, dude, whatever, you ain't getting a world record. You know, okay, cool. You're going to, yeah, right. But he had the audacity to believe it. We go to a fishing trip. I catch a fish. He catches a fish. He goes, oh, it's a small one. He goes, if I catch a big fish, he goes, you can have it. I go, cool. If I catch the next fish, you can have it. So the fish is hooked. He gives me the rod, so you can take this one. It's a small one. I reel it up. It's 72 pounds. Okay, now watch this. The boat captain says, this is 72 pounds. I go, yeah. He goes, the biggest one ever caught in recorded history was 68 pounds. When he had the audacity to have the attitude that God was going to bring him something only God could bring him, the energy of his faith went into that fish and brought it toward our boat. The same time God put the energy in that captain to bring him to the place where I would catch something that we knew it was God. Your attitude goes into your future. When Abraham said, God shall supply himself a sacrifice, and had the attitude that God was with him, he didn't know it, but God was speaking to a ram up on the other side of the mountain. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yes.
Someone say, my attitude,
my attitude
is a seed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before he came to Pharaoh, he had to dress himself like he was going to be. If he did not dress himself like a Gentile leader, he would have gone back to that prison. But because he dressed himself like where he was going to go, he fit. Your attitude is going to, you're going to end up exactly where your attitude prophesies. Can you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. If you get that house and you don't have an attitude, you're blessed, you're going to lose that thing. If you get into your ministry and destiny and don't have an attitude like you belong there, you're going to go back. Your attitude will prophesy. It's a seed. Someone say, my attitude is a seed. Look at the person next to you. He said, you better change the way you're looking right now. Amen. The next seed, briefly, is the seed of defiance. Faith really is, I don't believe what I see that's temporary. I reject what I see and I believe something that I don't see. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I don't believe in this battle. Amen. I believe in something else is going to come to place. Amen. The very first things that happens when you're in a new season, the Bible says, talks about saying unto the mountain that there's a different release that God gives you, a way of talking that I'm here, but I ain't staying here. I've got this going on, but I reject it. Yeah. This thing's fighting me, but it's going to end. There's a different way of speaking. God says when there's a mountain moving season, amen, when changes come, you just start speaking different. And your season doesn't change when things start coming to you. Yeah. The season starts to change when you start talking different.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you don't let life say, you're Jacob, you're cursed, you ain't going nowhere. When you talk back to life and say, devil, you a liar. I ain't what you say. I'm Israel.
Yeah.
And favor came when he changed the way he talked, not when circumstance changed first.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Someone say, I'm going to change my season today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The seed of defiance. Don't call yourself an old man. Call yourself Abraham, the father of many nations. Amen. Why are you laughing, Pastor Glenn? Hallelujah. You got to love. See, this is your season of blessing. This is your season of everything you've waited for. This is your season of multiplicity. God said, I'm going to give you 10 times fold for the people that turned their back on you and stabbed you. God says, I'm going to give you 10 fold, hallelujah, of people that are 10 times better than what tried to come against you. Thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, there is leadership in this house right now. You need to rise up and take your spot and take your place, because this place is going to get ready to multiply. And the people that are joining and faithful right now are going to reap the benefits. This is a test for you. Hallelujah. Will you take your place? Will you take your place in leadership? Young man, you feel a fire in your spirit. Take that youth ministry. Woman, you've got an outreach in your spirit. Don't wait for pastor to tell you everything. Get your gifts moving and multiply this place. Amen. Glory to God. Because once there's 600 kids in a youth group, you think, y'all, can I get a job now? No, you could have got a job when we needed you.
Yes.
Can I get on the praise team? No, you can't get on the praise team now that you got all the glamour and everybody's here and everything. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The seed of defiance. Amen. He called the storm peace. Amen. You got to have a rebellion in your spirit. Amen. You got to have something. That's what the two children of Israel that made it in of the spies. They said, I don't care if millions don't make it. I'm going to be the one to make it. Glory to God. You got to have a defiance in your spirit. Nobody else from my neighborhood made it. All of them stayed in the ghetto. I'm going to be the one that is going to make it.
Yes.
Nobody else came through this depression and got free. I'm defying the odds. I'm going to be the one out of millions. You got to have that kind of audacity in your faith. Hallelujah. That I don't care if nobody out of millions did it. Me and God are going to do this thing. And you defy statistics. Hallelujah. And you say, I'm going to be the exception to the rule. I don't know any crack addict, heavy metal rockers that are anointed to preach the gospel. But I want to defy the odds because God is attracted to people that rebel against boundaries, against walls.
Yes.
Someone say the seed of defiance. Glory to God. Glory to God. The seed of words. I'm not keeping you long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you know what? When you're immature in ministry, you're sensitive when people talk down against you and they criticize you. But when you grow, you kind of like it. Because you know what? When someone slaps you with, I don't like this, and if it's a true correction, then you got to take it.
Yeah.
But if someone says, I don't want you to praise God all like that, or I don't believe in your dream or your destiny, or tries to bring up your past, and they slap you, when you get mature, you know what you do? You take the goodness of God and your praise, and you slap them back. And say, you know what? I'm going to be more than my enemies. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When your enemies come, it pushes a new anointing in you. You know what? Thank God for your critics. It'll push something in you. I'm going to make it just to prove my critics that God's on my side. Yes. Don't mess with me. I'll come back with a new anointing.
Yes.
The seed of words. This probably is the most important one. He always said, he never gave them a miracle first. He says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Because he needed a seed. What do you want me to do, Bartimaeus? Amen. Call yourself Abraham. Call yourself Israel. He called him, hey man, when you go to battle, call yourself Gideon, a mighty man of valor. He always gives you a seed. He will not reciprocate what you don't plant a seed. Amen. This is such a fascinating fact. That when Abraham was going to offer Isaac, he made this statement, God shall provide not for himself. He says, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Yes. Glory to God. He goes up onto the mountain. God brings a ram, a type of Jesus, on the very same mountain range, 2,000 years later, in the exact place that Abraham said it, God provided himself a sacrifice in the form of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. If you're going to get a breakthrough, what's your name, brother?
John.
John, if you're going to get a breakthrough, it's going to be the seed of John. If your grandchildren are going to get a revival, it's going to be the seed of this mother that was crazy enough to believe that God could send a revival. If this church is going to grow, Pastor Glenn, it's going to be the seed of a man of God that said, we're not stopping here. We're going to keep on believing God until there's a flow of people and breakthroughs. Hallelujah. I would not be here if I had not a crazy grandmother that defied the odds and said, my grandson is going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What kind of harvest are you bringing? What kind of breakthrough are you bringing out of your life? Yes. Someone say the seed of words.
Seed of words.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. The seed of your words. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Fred Price got up in front of this church camp meeting when he had 30 people. And he said, excuse me, everybody. I want to make an announcement. I'm going to have one of the biggest African-American churches in America. Testified it when he had 30 people. End up having one of the biggest churches. I could go on and on. Joyce Meyer, when she had a little Bible study, said, I'm going to have one of the major networks on TV. What do you have the audacity to speak? You got to prophesy something. You got to say something. You might as well say something like God's on yours. What you going to do? Go to the edge of your life and see that God was for you and with you and you had the Holy Ghost presence in your life and go out of here without seeing a miracle and a breakthrough. You ought to be prophesying something in your life.
Amen.
Glory to God. This woman, she's in Tyre and Sidon. She is a mixed breed of people and she doesn't fit anywhere. When she gets a vision of Jesus, she doesn't fit in her situation. The first way you know you're getting ready for a breakthrough and a miracle is that your revelation doesn't fit in your situation. Glory to God. It's not that you've got it yet, but something in your spirit don't fit where you are. That's why you're frustrated. Your spirit has already moved to a new level. Glory to God. I went to a hotel room. I put the key in the door. It didn't work. I went to the front desk. They said that key wasn't for the second floor. It was for the third floor. I was trying to fit into a lower level. And that's what's going on in your life. You got too much revelation and you're frustrated because God has called you to close that chapter to go to a higher place. The first thing is your revelation exceeds your situation. Number two, she comes up to Jesus and she starts crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says nothing. And so she reminds him again, Jesus, thou son of David, you're the son of David. This is your promise. One thing that women are good about, if you promise a woman something, she don't forget.
Amen.
Can I get a witness? If you promise to take her next year at this time, we are going to Disneyland next year. It will be next year, this day, at 12:08. And Pastor Joni will say, why ain't we at Disneyland? Pastor Glenn go, what are you talking about? You were wearing that green shirt, them green cufflinks, those beige pants. Dean Clark was preaching. It was 12:08. Amen. And you promised me we were going to Disney. Because women never remember dates. And God is not offended when you remind him what he hasn't done. He is complimented because you saying, God, you ain't done it yet. But I still believe my breakthrough's coming and I'm going to keep on hollering and reminding you, Jesus, you said you're going to take me to Disneyland. I guarantee you, he will immediately book that ticket and take her where she need to go.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
I don't care what you think you're not going to get for that woman. You better just buy it for her. She's going to get on your nerves till you get it. Can you say amen? Just... Then the disciples, then the disciples tell her to shut up because religion will always try to shut you up when they know there's a switch getting ready to take place in the spirit. That's why the discouragement has tried to hit you in the past, Pastor Glenn. Because anytime that God knows that there's a switch in the spirit getting ready to kick, he'll make sure he gets church people who should be used by God to try to stop your destiny, because the devil knows, hallelujah, there is some people that the enemy does not want blessed. Let me tell you something. You that have been hurt, you that have been in the back, you that haven't seen a breakthrough, God's getting ready to reverse things and break the rules and bring some people that religion and their past should not be. Someone say there's a turnaround coming. Someone say it's my turn now. Hallelujah. You better get some religious devils mad. You better make some enemies mad. You better upset some religious statistics if you're going to get a breakthrough from God. Hallelujah. They told her to shut up, but she had the seed of defiance. Hallelujah. Thank you for telling me to stop. Because when you told me to stop, something rose in my spirit. I can't stop. I got to still believe God. When you tried to curse me financially, something rose in my spirit that said I still believe. God is going to give me a breakthrough. Thank for the things that told you to stop, because it rose the spirit of defiance in your spirit. You ain't taking my life. You ain't taking my business. You ain't taking my destiny. Devil, it ain't over. I defy you. A change is still coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, I defy it. Then the Bible says this. Jesus doesn't say nothing. The disciples tell her to shut up. She begins to worship the Lord. Lord, you're saying no, but I still love and trust you. Lord, I don't understand it. You're not microwaving it, but I still love you and I still trust you. And she puts the seed of trust and worships God. And Jesus says under this, and I'm closing, it's not right to take the children's bread, give it to dogs. She says, Lord, in her psyche, I was sitting, a Syrophoenician woman. I didn't know you could save my family. I didn't know there was deliverance from devils. I was a dog, yes. But you came by with your presence and said how you could save a whole family. Lord, I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't hardly have anything. Yeah. Then you come up in my neighborhood when I didn't chose you, didn't have anything, didn't want you at all. You came to my neighborhood talking about how you're Jehovah Jireh. You supply all my needs. You're a blesser. Amen. I didn't know about you shutting the mouth of a lion. Then you come up into my place, my village, amen, talking about how you can shut the mouth of a lion, stop the heat out of the fiery furnace, amen, cause angels would put your presence in my life, show me favor and show me breakthrough. Amen. I wasn't looking for all this, Jesus. I was a sinner. I was a dog. I didn't know. But then you came to my village and told me all about your goodness. Yes. Now, God, I admit I may be a dog. I may have questions in our mind. Now, listen, you may have a carnal mindset. I don't understand. I doubt sometimes. I don't get it. I may be a dog, but Lord, if you didn't want me to get it, you shouldn't have let me smell the bread. Yeah, that's right. Now, Jesus, I know you want me to shut up, but I can't shut up because you let me smell the bread. I don't understand, but I trust you because I smell the bread. My daughter's demon possessed. You're saying nothing, but I smell the bread. Despite my mentality, despite me not seeing the breakthrough, despite me not understanding, something in my spirit still says, you're still a good God. When you can say that he is a good God when you don't see it, no way. You haven't seen it. You've been waiting for things to happen, things to change. God, I ain't seen it change. I ain't seen it the way I want to. But I still smell the sense that you're a good God. And Jesus said, if you can trust that I'm a good God, even though it ain't going your way, for this saying, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Welcome to your breakthrough. Welcome to your breakthrough. You that have waited, you that have hoped, you that have struggled and haven't seen the answer. Hallelujah. If you can still worship him and trust him. Hallelujah. God says, when you did believe me when I said no, for this saying, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Oh, hallelujah. Can you stand in this house? Oh, glory to God. When you feel like giving up, but you still say, I trust him. Welcome to your breakthrough. When you're able to give, when you haven't seen it all, welcome to your breakthrough. When you're able to trust him when it ain't going your way. Is there anybody in here? Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Yeah. The indication that you're getting ready to reap is that you feel like fainting. Yeah. Glory to God. Lift up your hands in this place. And I want you in this place, and I didn't end primarily with a big volume, but it's something very important in your spirit that you're getting ready. You're tempted to give up. Jesus isn't answering the way you want. You're not seeing everything the way you want, but this worship today is going to bring you into a brand new season. Hallelujah. 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 God's saying your worship today, you passed the test. I wanted to see if you would trust me above you not seeing it the way you wanted, that you would believe me above waiting and above your enemies and believe my character above what you haven't seen. And I decree in the name of Jesus, glory to God, glory to God, that you are entering into your season of breakthrough. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for a couple of people. Somebody's entering into your season of breakthrough right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah.